Welcome to ACC Nation. We're in the countdown phase to college basketball, and our special guest is Ken Cross, who joins us from Tampa to give us a rundown of the AP Top 10 teams. Plus, Ken will give us his thoughts on the ACC. Ken is a fanatic writer for Lindy Sports. Put some ink into the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. It can be found at collegehoopswatch.com and hosts the podcast Marching to Madness. And as you are about to find out, he's not short on opinions about teams that are overrated, who should win select conferences. Plus, can't forget about the NCAA. All right, we know that when we have an opportunity to talk with you about college basketball, we're going to get your unabashed opinion. So without hesitation, Ken, I want to get your thoughts on the AP Top 10 men's basketball teams. And off the top of your head, from the gut, and based upon what you're hearing, seeing, and writing about, let's start out with number 10, which is Villanova. And they've got a couple of five-star recruits there that are looking pretty good. A whole list of guys who are on the roster that they've got a lot of talent. It's just that simple. But not a single scholarship senior. So tell us your thoughts on Jay Wright's Wildcats, how they fit into the Big East, and is this a team that you think that fans can count on making it into the NCAAs this year?
Yeah, it's an NCAA team. Now, they went out to Los Angeles a little over a week ago, and they were defeated by Southern Cal, who's going to be a really good team. They had a top 10 recruiting class. They lost one of those little preseason games, 72-61, and they were totally outplayed. I think Southern Cal overall, with the freshmen they have, probably, you know, could match up, and you could say they had more talent. But anyway, you know, they brought those two teams together. It was for the firefighters fund there in Southern California, you know, because of all the wildfires. I think the big thing we're looking at with Villanova this year is offense, because their numbers were really down last year, you know, and they were, you know, 135th in the country in points scored and 211th in field goal percentage. They only shot it at a 43.8% clip. So, you know, I think they're probably going to have more depth. But I think Jay Wright's going to really work, you know, to find this offense again back from 2 years ago when Jalen Brunson, you know, was the National Player of the Year.
Let's move on to number 9. This is our first ACC team, North Carolina. Roy Williams lost 3 players to the NBA after last year in White, Johnson, and Little. Plus, out the door goes May and Williams. But in come some pretty decent replacements in Cole Anthony, an exciting addition at point guard, and Armando Bacot, plus Leaky Black, another solid guard, derailed by injuries last year. Then you got Sterling Manning. If fully rehabbed from a knee injury, he could be a real plus. Brandon Huffman, Brandon Robinson, Christian Keeling, Justin Pierce, Anthony Harris, Jeremiah Francis. So, in other words, Roy Williams has a lot to work with. Give us some thoughts on how North Carolina looks this year.
Yeah, I think you hit it. He's got a lot to work with. Depth is going to be excellent, especially by the end of the season. And then the experience that will come with Anthony and Bacot, you know, having a total year, so to speak, I guess, beneath them before the tournament. Cole Anthony, of course, the son of former UNLV and star and New York Knicks star Greg Anthony. You know, and of course, he knows the game. And he, you know, he had a great McDonald's All-American game where he was the MVP, and he starred also in the Nike Hoop Summit and Jordan Brand Classic. So, you know, Roy says he's one of the most complete guards he's ever recruited. And, you know, in addition to having his physical skills, you know, he's competitive. He's got lots of toughness, and he's got an IQ that's going to be different than your average high school superstar coming in to a big time college program because, you know, he's been able to think the game, you know, from the perspective of his dad. I really like Baycott. He, you know, starred at the IMG Academy here in Bradenton, Florida. And, I think that this is the first legit big man, you know, with so many different skills, that Roy's had maybe since, you know, Tony Bradley left for the NBA. So, you know, these two guys are probably one and done, you know, barring heaven forbid an injury. And then, you know, Roy comes back strong and he gets, like you're saying, Justin Pierce, a good shooter from William & Mary. William & Mary, whenever they fired Tony Shaver, which was really questionable in my opinion, just based on you got to know who you are, you know. And Tony Shaver had been there 17 years, and William & Mary is one of the few schools that have never made the NCAA tournament. But when they fired him, they lost four really good players, really good starters. And Pierce is one of them, and he can shoot it. He's 6'7". Of course, now he is a graduate transfer, and he's going to really play a key role, I think, for North Carolina. And then Christian Keeling, like you said, coming over from Charleston Southern, where, you know, he was in the top 10 in the Big South in scoring, rebounding, field goal shooting, and free throw percentage, as well as blocked shots.
Let's go on to number 8, Gonzaga. The Bulldogs out of the West Coast Conference are facing a somewhat similar situation in that they're losing players to the NBA. They've lost 3 seniors and 6 freshmen are on board. Some question marks, but they've got a couple of players here, especially their roster of big men. Really looks amazing, and especially this 17-year-old who is 6'10", 260 pounds, probably won't be contributing at the front end of this season, but will be polished up. Tell us a little bit about the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you know, this is a team that's going to be on the high end, you know, on the West Coast year in, year out, the West Coast in general. And I've had a lot of these guys on my podcast, really the majority of them from the WCC, the Pac-12, the Mountain West, and the Big West, you know, and a lot of the problem is the notoriety they receive back east, which, you know, is really a bummer. But you look at Gonzaga and St. Mary's, they're going to be there, you know, at the top of the WCC every year because of Mark Few, because of Randy Bennett at St. Mary's. And, you know, you look at this team, Admon Gilder comes in from Texas A&M as a graduate student. He sat out last year. He's going to be, in my opinion, potentially the player of the year in the WCC, and he's going to be the catalyst of this team. You know, he was like a utility man for the Aggies, 3-point shooter, good mid-range game. Defender, and you know that he's a bulldog, and I think he's going to have a huge impact on this basketball team. And of course, you got Corey Kispert, you know, who comes back. He shot 37.4% from 3 last season, and then Killian Tilly will be healthy at 6'10", 220. A really good nucleus there for Mark Few going forward.
Well, since you brought this up, it is a question mark, I think, that should be addressed a little bit further. There is a tendency for the East Coast media, which is predominant, to kind of underplay a lot of the teams that are out in the PAC and the West Coast and Mountain West, among others. You know, what do you see as the reason for that? Is it just a lack of knowledge on the part of people who are covering them in the media, or a lack of effort in doing so?
Both. It's a lack of knowledge, and it's like you say, it's a lazy mentality. Oh, we don't want to sit up till, you know, 11 p.m. and watch the Conference of Champions, as Bill Walton so aptly quotes it, or we don't want to sit up and watch these teams play. So they only see them play, you know, when they play somebody out east, like Gonzaga went to North Carolina, I think it was last year, and that was their first loss. Well, that's not a bad loss, and, you know, they'll jump off the bandwagon, though, as soon as that happens. And it's they're forever, I think, fighting this. Now, a lot of those guys out there, you know, tell me that, well, you know, there's so much coverage of everything, they're going to know about us anyway. But I just think it's a lot of just, you know, number one, it's like you were saying, there's so many people that cover college basketball east of the Mississippi. And then number two, there's a laziness in trying to know the entire country. And that's where, you know, these teams fall under or fall off the map, I think, so to speak. It's, you know, it's like, for example, New Mexico is going to be a really good team in the Mountain West. They're probably the second team in there behind Utah State. Well, you know, they both of those schools only really have one beat writer. So the message doesn't come out, you know, as well. Unless you're looking for it.
Interesting perspective there, and hopefully people will take heed of that and do a better job, and especially people who are voting in things like the AP Top 25, which I tend to think people get a little bit too lazy and don't take that seriously.
Right. I was just going to say, and you can look at this, it's just heavy with, you know, the quote-unquote blue blood teams and the names everybody knows. Nobody does any, nobody does any analysis, really, or they don't delve deep into rosters. That's another thing that I find that the college basketball media generally is really lazy at, is the fact these rosters turn over every year much more so than they ever have in history. But they don't go by, for example, Blue Ribbons College Basketball Yearbook. There's a shameless plug. and study, you know, the teams or whatever.
Yeah, and thank you for the plug, too, because I'll tell you what, that is an invaluable that's an invaluable source, and I think more people ought to be reading that. Good information. Mm-hmm. So let's move back to the East Coast and get a little more into the bias aspect of things. Let's go to number seven. It's Maryland. They've got a couple of players there, Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith. But there's some question marks surrounding the Terps from the standpoint of, do they have the grit to make this all come together, and are they really worthy of being there in the top 10?
Yeah, you know, I've heard both of those things already, and they lost Bruno Fernando, who was one of my favorite players last year. He went on to the NBA. Mark Turgeon, I think, though, he's got a solid culture. You know, these kids come in and you know, they kind of follow suit now. He's got some really nice players. And I think he's got, you know, we're talking about Carolina's depth. I think he's got the same thing. Cowan, you know, is a guy that you want to see, you know, kind of expand his game, I think, overall. You know, and some of the things that these guys do, you know, when they go into the NBA camps and they learn a little bit, or they kind of get themselves evaluated, that helps them more than anything, you know. And the same with Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith, I think, is going to be a really good impact player in the Big Ten. I think this is the number two team in the Big Ten behind Michigan State. And it's going to be really interesting, you know, to see what they do come up with, and then how far they can go. I mean, last year, LSU beat them. You know, Tremont Waters made a beautiful hesitation dribble and layup with 1 second left, and LSU shaded them here in Jacksonville. So the Terps, you know, their next big thing is not only to get to that second weekend, but, you know, make some noise, I think, when they get there.
Number six comes out of the SEC, and it's the Florida Gators. Their inside game last couple of years has really struggled. Things may be looking up. They've got a grad transfer that ACC fans ought to be familiar with, Kerry Blackshear Jr. coming out of Virginia Tech, who will probably add quite a bit of spark to a team that has a lot of talent. Tell us about what your thoughts are on the Gators.
Well, the Gators are my pick to win the SEC. I think they're going to, you know, win out over Kentucky. And then I've got Auburn and LSU in the top four there as well. Florida, like you're saying, Kerry Blackshear Jr. is the preseason player of the year as a transfer in the SEC. He's going to be huge on those boxes. And the big thing is Coach Mike White, who does a phenomenal job year in, year out, game by game, getting game plans together, making alterations. He's got his guards back. Andrew Nimhard and Noah Locke were freshmen last year. Keontae Johnson, you know, he plays the three guard. He played some at power forward and used his quicks. And he was good whenever last year, whenever Florida, you know, went to a four out one end package. So they've got depth as well. They've got talent. The big guy to watch, though, is this incoming freshman, Scotty Lewis, who most people say or most people think is going to be a one and done there for the Gators. You know, he was in the McDonald's All-Star game. I think he finished with 10 points. Very high-level recruit. And, you know, his versatility is going to be a big thing on both ends of the floor.
Now, Lewis is listed as a guard/forward. Where do you see him eventually really playing most of his minutes?
At the three, at the small forward, I think. He's 6'5", 180. And I think that's going to be where he's, you know, at. He'll defend, though, all over the perimeter.
And he'll beef up here before long, so that 180 is maybe a little bit misleading with that height. Number five, another team from the Atlantic Coast Conference that a lot of folks are picking as the top pick for the Atlantic Coast Conference, though the media didn't go that route with ACC's Operation Basketball. Louisville. Chris Mack's team he's come a long way in the last two seasons. He's got the likes of Jordan Nwora, Stephen Enoch, Malik Williams, Dwayne Sutton, and a lot more. A lot of solid players there, a lot of returning depth. Where do you see the Cardinals going?
Yeah, I think they'll win the ACC. I think they're there with Duke, Carolina, Virginia, and FSU right there, you know, behind them. You know, it's an interesting thing in the ACC because there's so many more of the writers and the media people are in North Carolina. Even when you have a team that looks this good, they're always not going to be picked to win it down there because of the number of writers and whatnot in the Tar Heel State. But, you know, I really and truly it doesn't matter. I think this recruiting class is, you know, obviously a top five group now. Chris Max had some problems earlier. David Johnson, you know, his guard who come in has been injured. He had also, I think it was, it might have been Samuel Williamson. No, it was Malik Williams, my bad, returning power forward. He suffered an injury as well. And then another freshman, Quinn Slezinski, had an appendectomy. So they've not had their whole group together yet, you know, as far as practice goes. But Jordan Nwora, easily, I think, a preseason National All-American, should be the preseason player of the year pick in the ACC. And watch this kid right here, the point guard, Lamar Fresh Kimball. He comes in from St. Joe's. He's not going to be a player where he dominates any one category, but whenever you pick up the box score, generally at the end of a game, you're going to see him figuring in generally all the categories. So a deep Louisville team, Chris Mack and my main man Dino Gaudio out there getting things done, as the Cardinals, I think, are definitely the pick of the ACC and definitely could make a run to the Final Four in Atlanta.
Well, I'll show a little bit of my bias here. I'm picking Louisville to be the top team in the ACC this year, and that's based upon everything you just outlined, Ken. Let's look at number four, Duke. Mike Krzyzewski, again, reloading with, you know, one-and-dones for the most part, with the exception of Trey Jones. Raw talent is not quite the same as last year, but still pretty good. Vernon Carey Jr. is somebody who stands out there. There's a lot of other players on this squad that look pretty solid, too. But again, if you were expecting the likes of Zion and Barrett, no, it's not going to be the same. And that's part of the reason why I didn't agree with the media picking Duke to finish at number one in the ACC. Your observation, step back just a little bit and give us some thoughts on what do you think that Coach K will do with the Blue Devils this season?
Yeah, you know, they had a real challenge. They hosted Northwest Missouri State, who's the reigning Division II national championship, and they only beat them 69-63. And of course, there's been, as we know, a lot of overreaction and rush to judgment already, but the bottom line is that Northwest Missouri State team has a returning nucleus of pretty much juniors and seniors. They played together forever, as you would expect at the D2 level. Coach K, I did an article today. He was talking about they had they play a five-guard offense, which you just don't see, you know, at the higher levels of Division I basketball. And the adjustment was tough. And, of course, this is the first time Duke had been on the floor together as a team. And I think you're right. There's no Zion Williamson. There's no R.J. Barrett. There's no Cam Reddish. But I think Trey Jones is going to be the nucleus of this basketball team. It can be very good. I think it's like it always is and like Kentucky always is. They're always picked way higher than how they'll finish with these one-and-dones. And the key is the development, you know, in the players. But Duke may have a situation where next year, you know, they've already recruited some people. They may have a situation where they're overslated as far as a roster goes, and they have to make some roster moves.
Wow. Some interesting thoughts there. Let's move on to number three. Hey, here's where we get into this blue blood thing, and sometimes people are a little bit overrated. I'm not sure that's the case with number three, Kansas, but certainly when we get into number two, I'm thinking that. And you've kind of indicated what your thoughts were with the SEC. Let's go to number three, Kansas. Jalen Wilson, Tristan Naruna, Christian Braun, and Isaac McBride are just some of the players there that we should be keeping an eye on. Jayhawks, Blue Bloods, at least in my book.
Yeah.
Nice to see them back in the top five.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty good, I think. Now, again, I think Texas Tech and Baylor are going to come up there and they're going to challenge them again. They, of course, Udoka Azubuike is back in there in the middle, you know, so that's going to be really big for them after, you know, he was injured and whatnot last year. And then I think the NCAA cleared Silvio De Sousa, which, you know, like the NCAA is known for doing, they drug their heels on this kid last year. And it seems like every time the NCAA's name is anywhere, they're doing some athlete somewhere an injustice. If you go back, I'm going to digress here for a minute. Here we are now a week from Tuesday night. We're going to start another season, and they're still working on granting waivers. And that doesn't do the players any good. It doesn't do the teams any good, no matter who they are, where they are, or at what level they are. We could do a whole other podcast on why I think the NCAA is nothing but a load of boulder dash to keep this show, you know, so all, everybody can listen to it. But anyway, Kansas, watch Devon Dotson also on the point. You know, he comes from Charlotte, North Carolina as well. He's a nice basketball player. He averaged 12.3 points a game last year, and he shot about 49% from the floor and was a three-point threat. He'll be a nice complement to D'Souza and Udoka inside. Big key, like you say, it's going to be how well I think they develop this bench. I think they are a little overrated, though, at, what did we say, three?
Yeah, number three.
Yeah, at three.
Well, let's talk about another team that I think both of us agree on this, overrated. Number two, Kentucky. I don't see it, but let's get your thoughts.
I agree. I think every year, you know, it's the same thing. And I think Cal, there's no doubt he does a great job. When these players get here, he does a great job molding them and getting them ready for the next level. This group, always at Kentucky, seems to improve more and be more ready for the NBA than any other group in the country. And, of course, he lost some big names there right away. P.J. Washington already making his self known there in Charlotte with the Hornets. But, you know, the big thing is how is this team going to come together now, and how will it kind of, you know, fashion itself with so many lost kids. I think Ashton Hagans is going to be nice on the point. You know, he was up and down last season, I think, but I think now, as he was the SEC co-defensive player of the year, and again, a lot of these SEC superlatives are kind of like we're talking about with the North Carolina teams. There's more people cover Kentucky than any other school, or maybe than any four or five you want to pick combined. So that's why you get a lot of Kentucky players you know, who are who figure into the equation, and so many are left out. And then going back to their guys, watch E.J. Montgomery and Nick Richards in the middle. I think these guys, you know, they're coming back. Richards as a junior. He improved a lot last year as the season goes on. And Montgomery, 6'10", 228 at the power forward. I think we'll see his scoring spike some this year. And, you know, they could be deep, but I'm not sold on them. I don't think they're going to beat Florida, and I think Auburn and LSU are going to be right there on Kentucky's heels.
We'll be looking and watching closely as to how that all plays out this season. At number one, Tom Izzo has a team that is deep, talented, and certainly, I think, deserving of that number one slot. This is one of those teams that I don't think is overrated, but let's find out what you think, Ken.
Yeah, they feel like a number one team, although I don't think they'll win a national championship. In fact, you know, there's just so many. That's the good thing about college basketball. Everybody, every conference has equal representation. And, you know, you don't have like 19% of the teams in there actually getting tournament bids, but every league is at least represented. So it gives a lot of different people chances. I think Cassius Winston is definitely probably the you know, preseason national player of the year. He's, you know, grown his game, you know, and become a really good point guard. Obviously, at 6'1", 185, and I think that, you know, the fact that he shoots 39% from the three-point line adds a facet to his game that not many point guards across the country have. You know, they're more prone to playmaking. And then, of course, Josh Langford, you know, he's got to stay healthy. He can be a big key there as well. It's going to be interesting to see how they do in the pivot, though, with kids leaving the program like Kenny Goins you know, like Nick Ward. So we'll see how it all transpires, you know, and see where these guys are. I think they open up against Kentucky a week from Tuesday night.
Let's put you on the spot here for just a second, and if you're not ready to make this statement just yet, that's okay. And we'll find out as the season progresses just where your thoughts are. But if Michigan State isn't the team to win a national championship, have you picked a team for this season that you think might be a national champion?
See, I haven't, because I think all of this stuff kind of, you see things the first month of the season as these teams roll out and they start to play. And I think there are plenty of good basketball teams that are going to have lots of experience and maybe be 8 deep that are going to be able to beat Kentucky or Duke or Kansas or anybody in a one-shot deal. Look what my main man Bruce Pearl in Auburn did last year. None of those guys on that Auburn basketball team, not Jaron Harper, not Bryce Brown, maybe Chuma Okeke, were SEC preseason, on any SEC preseason team. And before long, you know, they got hot, made a run to the Final Four. They beat Kentucky. They beat Carolina, and they beat Kansas all in a row. Those three teams had never been beaten in succession in history, but Arizona in 97 beat them all in the tournament. So that's a good example. Auburn was really good. They've got 5 starters, by the way. No, my bad. 5 seniors returning. They have 8 newcomers. 6 of those guys are freshmen. So, and it's a top 20 recruiting class. So by the end of February, Auburn's going to be a team to watch again. But as far as picking, you know, a national champion, it's just impossible to do it right now, I think, because like what we're saying, you know, there's so many teams with chemistry, so many teams, you know, that have experience that are going to be able to beat a lot of these TV teams and TV names in a one-shot deal.
Basically, what you're saying is it's fun to produce some water cooler talk if you want to do it this early, but basically, until you get a good grip on what this team is or all teams are about, you're just throwing mud against the side of a barn. If it sticks, it sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. That's why this is the greatest game there is, you know, bar none. I mean, everybody wants to talk about college football. They want to talk about the NFL and this, and this. But college basketball is inclusive, and it's got a dynamic that changes every year, and that's why it's easily the best, most interesting game to watch.
One thing I've always liked about it, Kenny, is that the statement "any given night." Is so absolutely true, and I have found that out as a fan, as somebody who covers it for media, and also as a coach. Certainly discovered that just when you thought you had everything under control, it goes south on you very quickly.
Every night you have Sweet 16 type of matchups, you know. At least Sweet 16. I mean, where do you have that in any other sport?
It's nowhere to be found. Head on that one. Hey, before we let you go, let's take a look real quickly at the ACC and give us your thoughts on what the conference looks like. And I'll just throw this out here. Last year's NCAA champion, Virginia, is ranked at number 11. Florida State, who you mentioned, 30. Notre Dame, 39, Syracuse, 41, and NC State, 42. But give us a sort of that overall look at the conference and what you're expecting this season.
Well, you know, I think it'll be 8 deep anyway in the ACC tournament. You know, when they start talking about, in the NCAA tournament, you know, when they start talking about, you know, the ACC or any other conference having 10 or 11 teams, that's not going to happen, because sometimes top eight conferences are so deep that they cannibalize each other, and there are teams in the middle of them that could make a run to the second weekend that don't get in, you know, because they lost, you know, a couple of games early or whatever, that took down, you know, took them down in the numbers and whatnot, the ratings. But I do think Louisville's a team to beat. I think Duke, Carolina, Virginia are the next tier of teams. I think Virginia is going to have to go back to winning games totally on the defensive end with that slow tempo. You know, it's not going to be – and that national championship game last year was won for the ages, and some of these narrow-minded national writers – you know, couldn't grasp the fact that Virginia and Texas Tech were playing for a national championship. It's like we said, if it's not some of their TV teams that they know something about, they're too lazy to go study the teams and write about them. You know, I could put their names out there, but, you know, whatever. But anyway, I think the next tier behind them is Syracuse, Florida State. I think NC State fits in there. I think NC State with Markell Johnson's a team to watch. I think they could do some damage in the conference here really all year if they stay healthy. And then, you know, Notre Dame's a team that has to stay healthy. Mike Bray, a great coach, should be at the end of his career has been so fruitful. Should have a shot, I think, at the Hall of Fame, maybe. Rex Flugner is going to be back there. And then a couple teams I think you should keep your eye on are Pitt and Miami. Miami, Jim Larranaga, he's another coach that's proven he can put players in the NBA. I think there were seven or eight on summer league rosters. His latest addition, Harlan Beverly, is going to be a big-time player for everybody to watch. Jeff Capel in Pittsburgh, I think, with the guards, you know, that he's got up there, Trey McGowan, Xavier Johnson, Aldis Toney. I think the Panthers are going to win some games, and they're going to creep up into that middle of the pack in the ACC as well.
Just a matter of time. Hey, Ken, I really appreciate you giving us your thoughts on college basketball and ACC, some of the stories that you write for your site and some of the things that you discuss on your podcast. We're also going to be sharing a little bit of that and guiding you over to Ken's site so you can catch more of his writing and some of his interviews with coaches and other folks in college basketball, because I think you'll find it very interesting. I always do, so be looking forward to that.
You know, there's plenty to talk about, you know, across the country. And, of course, you know, the ACC, it never disappoints. I mean, you know, when we talk about Sweet 16 style of matchups every night, you know, a lot of these teams in the league, inside the league, are going to be Sweet 16 quality. And the same goes, you know, for really, like I'm saying, the top eight or nine conferences in the country, man. I mean, there are some really good basketball teams out there that are not talked about. I mentioned one of them earlier. My national sleeper is Utah State. So watch these guys. Craig Smith came in there last year. He won 28 games, and it was a total transition. He's got one of the top guards in the nation in Sam Merrill and a really good big man in Demias Keita. So there's my national sleeper, the Aggies.
Looking forward to it. Ken, appreciate the time, and we'll get you back on soon.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about basketball, and maybe we'll delve into that NCAA thing, because that's always a tempting place to at least put our toes into it, not to dive in head first, because gosh only knows what kind of stuff we're going to end up hitting when we dive in.
They're horrible. The way they use these kids. And, you know, this, we'll just take basketball for a second. It's a multi-billion-dollar tournament, and they don't see nary a penny out of there. But yet, you know, their faces and whatnot are on video games and jerseys. And I think we're about to get that part of it fixed. But if you produce to the point where you're able to help put your team as one of the 68 out of the 353 teams, you're able to put them in the tournament, then you ought to be able to benefit out of some of those billions of dollars.
Seems reasonable.
Yep.
All right, sir. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed that.
Subscribe to ACC Nation Podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Blueberry, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and Deezer. Listen to ACC Nation Radio 24/7. We're an easy click away at accnation.net, accnation.net, on the links page, or simply look for the radio tab on the homepage. Connect with us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at ACC Nation. Wherever you are, drop us a line at contact@accnation.net, accnation.net, for a shout out. Until next time, cheers.